Let us take some time and read our first reading from the Old Testament as we begin examining the scriptures for the third Sunday of Lent. Our first reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. Please read these in your Bible now and return to this podcast when you are ready. There is no greater event in the history of the Jewish people than this moment. This was the moment that defined their identity and relationship with God. This was how to live out the covenant God wanted to establish with His chosen people. The Ten Commandments are not to be looked as confinements, but as liberating movements from human moral frailties. The first three commandments deal with our relationship with God. The next group of seven deal with our relationship with one another, how to become a family of believers. While six of them are worded as shall not commandments, these are actually calls to us to be free, free from the fear of each other, and free to love one another. Our reading from the New Testament comes from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Please pause and read these passages now. In the year 51 AD, Paul had established a Christian community in the town of Corinth, which was a large commercial crossroads, exposed to a variety of pagan religions, thoughts, and worship. 5 years after this establishment, a crisis had developed in Corinth. The followers were not sure which Christian leader or teacher to follow. There was a sense of factionalism. I belong to Paul, I belong to Peter. And this was becoming very evident in their liturgical celebrations. Paul tries to eliminate this confusing mixture of human and divine wisdom and focuses on what is really important, that we come to know God better, that we come to love Him and serve Him stronger. Our reading for the third Sunday of Lent comes from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves he said, "Take these out of here, and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them, because he knew them all, and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. We switch now from the Gospel of Mark to the Gospel of John. As I mentioned previously, Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. The church fills in with the Gospel of John. John is written 60 years after the Gospel of Mark, and John focuses more on the divine meaning behind events. We hear in verse 13, "Since the Passover of the Jews was near." Two more times in the Gospel of John, John will mention going to Jerusalem, which is where we get the idea that Jesus had a 3-year ministry. It was the duty of every faithful, loyal Jewish man to travel to Jerusalem once a year. And if Jesus went three times, he must have had a three-year ministry. Jerusalem is important, the holy city, and 80% of the Gospel of John takes place in or around Jerusalem, while the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, emphasize the area of Galilee. He goes into the temple, specifically the outer court, where Gentiles were permitted. One could only sacrifice in the temple, not in the synagogues in their hometowns, which is why the Gentiles would sell animals for sacrifice. One did not usually take the animals to Jerusalem on their pilgrimage, but had to buy them in the temple area. And here the money changers were at work. While Rome controlled the area at that time, everything outside of Jerusalem had to be paid for with Roman coins, and therefore the travelers would bring Roman coins with them. But in the temple, only Hebrew coins were allowed, so they would have to exchange the Roman coins for an equivalent Hebrew coin. Unfortunately, the money changers were charging inflated rates in order to make a profit on the deal, and this infuriates Jesus. He not only spills the coin of the money changers, but he drives out the animals. No more animal sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross on Good Friday would end the practice of sacrificing living beings to God. He tells the people to destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The gospel makes clear, and we know, that he is talking about his body. But the people at this time do not understand it. How ironic that in the year 70, the temple will be destroyed. But 3 days after his death, his temple, his body, will be raised and exalted. Just as the temple needed a radical cleansing, we too need to be cleansed of the things that weaken our true purpose to be a child of God. And that is what Lent is about. Preparing ourselves, praying, thinking about the times we have not lived as a child, thinking of how perhaps we have sold out to the world. We ask Jesus to cleanse us of these earthly desires, these earthly wants, and return to living as a child of God. Until next time, this is Deacon Mike, and keep the word alive.